Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building a rave pressure amen variation in Ableton Live 12, with that jungle swing and old school D&B attitude that makes a break feel alive instead of looped. The goal here is not just to chop up an amen and make it busy. The real goal is to create a drum phrase that feels edited, swung, and intentional, something that can sit in a drop, drive a transition, or give a second drop a proper lift. This kind of amen work sits right at the heart of jungle and darker D&B. It lives between the bass line, the kick, the snare, and the arrangement moments where you need energy without adding a whole new drum kit. And that's why it matters. A straight loop gets stale fast. A well-built variation gives you movement, tension, and that classic pressure the dance floor responds to. Start with one strong amen source. Don't overthink it. Pick a break that already has a solid snare character, some ghost note detail, and a bit of room tone or grit between the hits. That texture is important. If the break sounds too polished or too thin, it won't generate much jungle character later, even with processing. Drop it into Ableton, trim a tight two-bar loop, and keep it under control level-wise. You want headroom. If the sample is already slamming your meter, you're making life harder for yourself later. And if the break is drifting in time, use warp carefully. For an old-school feel, you usually want to preserve the micro-timing rather than force everything rigidly onto the grid. Now slice it. You can use slice to new MIDI track if you want to perform the pattern from MIDI, which is usually the fastest route for a true variation. That lets you treat the amen like a drum kit and rearrange the hits as if you were programming a drummer with attitude. When you lay the MIDI out, build from the snare first. The snare is the spine. Put the main backbeat anchors in place before adding any extra movement. A really useful starting shape is a strong snare on the main accents, then a ghost note or drag before the next phrase turn. Keep the second bar slightly different. One pickup, one reversed slice, one tiny fill, something that tells the ear, this is moving forward. What to listen for here is simple. Does the snare still feel dominant? And does the phrase still breathe? If the groove starts sounding crowded, pull us back. In D&B, negative space is part of the rhythm. Too many slices can kill the tension. Next, decide on the swing direction. You've basically got two useful flavors here. One is looser jungle swing, where a few ghost notes and pickup hits sit slightly late. That gives you that ragged, human, warehouse feel. The other is tighter rave pressure, where the main anchors stay more gridlocked and only the smaller details move around them. That feels harder and more modern, but still has character. A practical move is to nudge ghost hits by tiny amounts, maybe 5 to 20 milliseconds, while leaving the main snare anchors close to the grid. If you swing the core snare too much, the whole phrase can lose authority, and that authority matters. In jungle and D&B, the backbeat is not just part of the rhythm, it is the statement. Before you reach for heavy effects, shape the hierarchy. Not every slice should have the same weight. The snare usually leads, the kick drives, and the ghosts glue everything together. Use clip gain or utility to balance the hits. Keep ghost notes lower than the main anchors, and don't let little hat tails or room noises overpower the structure. What to listen for here is whether the break still reads clearly once the pattern is playing. A soloed break can sound exciting and still be wrong for the track. As soon as the bass comes in, the truth shows up. If the low mid area feels foggy, or the snare loses its bite, the edit needs more discipline, not just more processing. Now build a basic processing chain. A really solid stock Ableton chain for this is a EQ8, drum bus, saturator, and maybe a light glue compressor if needed. Start with a EQ8 and clear out the useless low end. A high pass somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz is a common starting point, depending on how much body the break is carrying. The goal is to protect the subspace for your bass. Then use drum bus for punch and grit. A little drive can help the amen feel louder and more present. Transients can add snap, but be careful not to go so far that the break gets spiky. Boom is usually something to treat cautiously in this style, because too much low enhancement will fight the bass line. After that, use saturator for density. A little harmonic push can make the break feel bigger without obviously sounding distorted. This is why it works in D&B. The genre depends on separation. The bass owns the low end, and the break owns the motion. When those roles are clear, the whole mix feels heavier and cleaner at the same time. If they blur into each other, the track loses impact. Now add groove. You can use Ableton's groove pool if you want a mild swing feel, or keep nudging slices by hand if you want more control. Apply the swing mostly to ghost notes, pickup hats, and little transition slices. Keep the main snare anchors firm. That contrast between stable hits and slippery details is where a lot of authentic jungle feel comes from. What to listen for now is whether the groove feels like it's breathing or falling apart. A great amen variation should lean forward, not wobble. If the snare stops feeling like it can command the room, the offsets are too heavy. Once the core pattern feels right, commit it. Bounce it to audio or print it as a finished take. This is one of the best habits you can build. A live jungle edits die because producers keep tweaking tiny timing details after the groove already has identity. If it nods your head and the phrase feels alive, trust it and move on. Seriously, that's a big part of making music that actually ships. Now give the second bar one clear change. Don't make it busier just for the sake of it. One strong move is enough. Maybe a reversed slice into the bar line. Maybe a missing ghost note so the groove opens up for a moment. Maybe a short snare drag into the next phrase. Or a tiny pitch down on a single hit for extra dirt. One deliberate change reads much better than five small ones. That second bar contrast is what turns a loop into a phrase. And phrases are what make a track feel arranged. If you want this to work in a real drop, think in two bar and four bar logic, not just one repeating bar. That gives you something that can loop convincingly without feeling static. From there, use automation to make the break behave like part of the arrangement. Auto filter is great for this. You can open the top slightly as the phrase develops to create urgency, or close it a little before a drop to build tension. You can also automate a small lift on a texture layer, so the air around the break opens up without changing the impact of the snare. What to listen for is whether the filter movement feels musical or obvious. You want pressure, not a gimmick. In darker DNB, a little more mid-range density often works better than a huge bright sweep. Rave pressure can come from the room tightening, not just the highs rising. Now bring in your bass line or at least a placeholder sub. This is the real check. If the bass is sub-heavy, the break needs to stay disciplined in the low end. If the bass is a reese, the break may need more mid-punch and less low-mid blur. If the kick is already distinct, the break can be a little more ghosty. If the kick is weak, the break needs to carry more authority. Listen for two things especially. Does the snare still hit through the bass? And does the low-mid area stay readable? If the break disappears or turns into fog, don't just turn it down. Find the muddy area, often somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz, and clean it gently if needed. That tiny move can make the whole drop breathe again. A great pro habit here is to version your work. Keep one raw chop, one groove committed bounce, and one process track ready print. That way, if the track direction changes later, you can come back without rebuilding the whole thing from scratch. It saves time, and it keeps the creative energy intact. If you want extra impact, you can also duplicate the break and give the second layer a different job. One layer can carry the body and the core groove. The other can beat a texture layer with auto filter, a little redux, or light saturator. Keep that layer lower in the mix. Its purpose is not to replace the main break. It's there to make the drums feel louder, dirtier, and more alive. And here's a useful reminder. Let one element stay ugly. If the bass is polished, keep the MN a little raw. If the drums are tight, let the texture be unstable. That contrast is part of the underground character. Too clean and the break loses its attitude. Too messy and the mix falls apart. The sweet spot is right in between. You can also think about the break as a performance edit, not a loop. A lot of the best versions start slightly too energetic, then get trimmed back until the kick, snare, bass, and space all fit together. If the phrase sounds great solo but weak in context, the fix is usually in the edit hierarchy, not in more compression or more distortion. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make every slice equally loud, because then the snare loses its authority. Don't swing the main snare hits too hard, because the groove starts to collapse. Don't leave too much low end in the MN, because the sub and kick need room. And don't distort before the edit itself is working, because saturation only exaggerates a bad structure. One more important thing, check mono compatibility. The core kick and snare energy should stay centered and solid. If you want width, put it on the noisy top layer or texture layer, not on the main downbeat components. That keeps the break club safe and reliable across systems. If you're going darker, heavier, or more old school, keep the top end a little controlled. You want the break to feel alive, not brittle. You want menace, not glare. Sometimes a slightly dustier, darker version is actually the one that cuts hardest in the mix. So, to recap, start with one strong amen, slice it into playable pieces, build the snare spine first, swing the ghosts rather than the anchors, shape the hierarchy before heavy processing, and add just one clear variation in the second bar. Then check it against the bass, automate some filter movement for phrase energy, and print it once it feels right. That's how you get a rave pressure amen variation that feels human, fierce, and usable in a real DNB track. Now take the mini exercise and build one 2-bar version with a strong snare anchor, at least one ghost note movement, one clear transition detail, and a simple stock device chain. Then bounce it and test it against a bassline. If that works, push further and make a second version for a transition or a second drop lift. Keep the core identity the same, but give the alternate version more pressure, darker texture, or a stronger handoff into the next phrase. That's the move. Make it swing, make it hit, and make it useful. See you in the next one.